There is a medrash in Parshas Vayetze in the Bereshis Rabbah where we're told that there was a conversation that took place between Matrona Achas, between a Roman woman, an aristocrat, and Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, one of the great Tanoim. So she once encountered him and she engaged him in conversation, and Amar lo, she says, L'kama yamin bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamo? How many days did it take God to create his world? Amar lo, he says, I don't really understand the question. We all know, L'sheshes yamin, it took God 6 days to create the world, as it says, Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem, es hashamayim ve'es haaretz. Amar lo, she said, if that is the case, mahu osa me'osa shavi ad achshav. It's been a long time since the end of creation. What has God been busy with ever since? What does he do now, every day of the week? So it records a lengthy discussion that went back and forth, and finally it says that Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta told her the following. Since the end of creation, those so many thousands of years ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Va'oseh Sulamos, Mashpil Lazeh, Umeirim Lazeh, Umori Lazeh, Umale Lazeh. What it means is, from the end of creation, the Ribono Shel Olam has been on a perpetual ladder, which means there are times in our life when our relationship with Him and our perspective of Him is in motion, and it is in some sort of flux, because we very often throughout life have different perspectives and different positions where we find ourselves on that ladder with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And never are we in the same place as we may have been a year ago, a month ago. Our perspective continues to change. And I feel that is closely connected not only to that idea of the Sulamos, but also to the story that the Bereshis Rabbah writes, the Shmos Rabbah writes on the Pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha, where we're told that the Minim were the ones who didn't fully believe in all of the perspectives of the Orthodox community. Shalu es Reb Simlai. On one occasion, they asked Reb Simlai the following question. Eloz harbe yesh ba'olam. Do you believe that there are many gods in this world? Amar lahem, he said, Lama, why would you say such a thing? Why would you make such an assumption? Amrilo, they said, well, doesn't the Pasuk say, Hashama am kol Elokim midaber mitocha esh, that the world, the nation, the Jewish people heard kol Elokim. Why is it Belashon Rabim? It must be that there were many different gods who were speaking at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. So that was the question that they asked. He tries to fight back, and finally he says, no, we have another pasuk that says kol Hashem bakoach, that kol Hashem means there's one unified voice of God. And it's kol Hashem ha-koach. What does it mean? It's with force. So he explained what it means is bekoach shel kol echad ve'echad. Habachurim lefni kochan, v'hazkenim lefi kocham, v'haktanim lefi kochan. That God sometimes shows and reveals himself in very different ways to different groups of people. And when you are an adolescent, your understanding and your perspective and relationship with him is not going to be the same as when you grow to be an adult, or at different stages of your life when you have different experiences that you are confronted with. And this is really what Avraham Avinu was told. His halech lifanai veheye samid. The way to be perfect, the way to be a tamim with God is if you are always his halech, if you are always walking with God, and sometimes you have different perspectives as you walk with him, but it's always a relationship that is in motion. It is always something that is maturing and intensifying and evolving over time, and that is the nature of our perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do I mention this? Because in our Parsha, Parshas Bo, we are given the very first instruction to the Jewish people after they leave Mitzrayim. And as we know, that first mitzvah that they were given is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim, that God instructs us that we have an opportunity every month to be Mekadesh Delevana, to sanctify the new moon, to declare Rosh Chodesh, and by way of doing that, we are now going to be able to enter in all, to usher in all of the Yamim Tovim, and everything that will come as a result of our declaring this month as Rosh Chodesh. So, that is the first mitzvah. My father used to tell us as children that it's a little bit strange why the first mitzvah we were given after leaving Mitzrayim was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Isn't that a very unusual mitzvah to be given? And not only that, every year, throughout the year, we say during Kiddush, Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. We always mention that everything is Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. So on Pesach, my father argued, it makes a lot of sense. After all, we came out of Mitzrayim on Pesach. On Shavuos, the whole objective of coming out of Mitzrayim was to lead us to the point when we would get the Torah on Shavuos. So therefore, that's also Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. On Sukkot, as we know, we're told, Kibas Sukkot Hoshavtis B'nei Yisrael B'hotzio Osam Eretz Mitzrayim. Once again, it connects back to Mitzrayim. But how do you explain every Shabbos? Why is it that on Shabbos we say that we observe Shabbos Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? What is the connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shabbos? And my father explained that perhaps the reason why is because it is not to remind us of the time when we actually left Mitzrayim, but it is to remind us of the mitzvah and the lesson that we were taught upon our becoming a free people. Meaning, what is the marked distinction between one who is an Eved and one who is a Ben Chorin? What is the major difference between someone who is free and someone who is a Eved, someone who is a servant to a master? My father argued that the marked distinction is whether or not we have the opportunity to choose how to spend our time. An Eved has no ability to choose how they are going to experience life. At every moment, they have to be available to the master. They have no ability to decide how they want to spend their day, because their day is really in the property of somebody else who tells them how they will spend their day. A Ben Chorin, when we became free people, God wanted to teach us that lesson. That time now belongs to you, and you have the ability to sanctify time, and you have the ability to decide how you are going to spend it, and to elevate time, not just how you're going to spend it, but to spend it wisely and to infuse that time with a meaningful existence, with a meaningful experience. And that is why the first mitzvah that we were given immediately upon leaving Mitzrayim was, now that you are a free people and you now have the ability to govern over your own time, you also should be taught that you have the ability to elevate that time and to be Mekadesh the Chodesh and to make Shabbos and Yom Tov every week. That is something that you have the ability to do, and that, my father explained, is what it means. Zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim. Every Shabbos we remind ourselves that we're given the renewed opportunity to elevate the day of Shabbos and to make it into something more special than it actually is. It's not just an ordinary day of the week. We are given as B'nai Chorin the opportunity to spend it as we choose, but to elevate that experience as well. But one can ask, why is it that we are Mekadesh L'Levana? Why is it that we don't count to the moon and we follow a lunar calendar as opposed to the solar calendar that the rest of the world follows? And I remember very distinctly my first week on the job in the White Shul, when I first became a rabbi, Sir Rabbi Asher Weiss had called me to wish a Mazel Tov, and we were talking about a bunch of things, and he said, just remember one thing, throughout all of the different careers that you're going to have, and whatever it is that you will do, just remember this one thing. Klal Yisrael is Nimshalu L'Levana. The Jewish people count their months based on the lunar calendar, not based on the solar system. And he suggested, the reason why is because, Shai, don't forget, Lo Chashuv B'Chayim Kama Ata Gadol, nobody cares how great you are, but rather Kama Ata Gadel, how much you're willing to grow and how much you're willing to progress. And that is the great nature of the moon. The sun might be most powerful, and the sun might be something that we all notice and we all recognize, but it makes no difference to anybody. The trick in life is for a person always to remember that you have to be a person who's on a trajectory of growth, that you're always willing to learn from someone. And however great you think you are, you always have the ability to learn something from another person, doesn't matter what kind of position you find yourself in, and who it is that might be teaching you the lesson that you can be learning from your interaction with them. And that is the critical lesson, and he suggested maybe that is the reason why the Jewish community always follows the lunar calendar, because the moon teaches us our greatest lesson. That as Jews, the most important thing that we always need to remember is not how great in size we are, not how great in intellectual capacity we might be, but rather how much we are willing to learn from others and how much we are always willing to be influenced and think about the Torah and mitzvahs that we perform and try to develop our relationship with God and make it a more intensified and mature one and not just be satisfied with whatever it is that we may have learned as children. In Parshas Acharei Mos, we read the pasuk, Es mishpatai ta'asu ves chukosai tishmeru. You are expected as a Jewish people to follow all of the chukim and all of the mishpatim. La leches bahem ani Hashem Elokeichem. What does it mean? La leches bahem. So some mefarshim explain what it means is the Ksav Sofer writes, La leches bahem means you cannot just observe the mitzvahs, but you have an obligation, La leches bahem, to grow with them and to continue to walk and not to be stagnant, not to be one dimensional, to understand that life is so much more expansive than just whatever you see in front of you, and there's so much more that you can accomplish. One always has to reposition themselves and refocus and challenge themselves to be on this progression and to be on that sulam, on that ladder with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. There's a powerful comment in the Shemi Shmuel, and it's such a beautiful insight that he has on Parshas Vayikra. In the end of days, the Navi says, Ko'amar Hashem, Zacharti lach chesed nu'urayich. After all the days of exile, after all the days of galus, and our very long, protracted story of everything we've been through as a people, so Hashem says, you know why I love my people? Zacharti lach chesed nu'urayich. I love you because I remember the chesed nu'urayich. I remember that when you were just a fledgling, a young nation back in the desert, that lechtech acharai bamidbar be'eretz lo zeruah, that you were willing to follow after me and to go in that path after Moshe Rabbeinu and after God himself in the midbar, where you really had no idea where you were going. You seemed to be wandering, and yet you were willing to have the faith and to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu even there. Writes the Shem Yishmol, does this make sense? After all that we've done, after all the sacrifices and everything we've been through, all God can say at the end of days is, Zacharti lachesed nu'urayich, I remember when you followed me in the desert. After all, we've done things that are far more of a sacrifice than that. We've given our children, we've given ourselves, we've done so much for God just to hang on and never to give up faith, never to give up our hope. So why is it that God points out, of all the stories in history, he says, that one is what I remember. Zacharti lachesed nu'urayich. And number two, asked the Shem Yishmol, did we have another option? What were we going to do? Who else were we going to follow? Here we were, God put us right in the middle of a desert, and there's no other option, there's no plan B. So of course we followed him. Why do we get credit for that? Says the Shem Yishmol, that is not what God intended to mean here when he says, Lechtech acharai bamidbar be'eretz lo zeruah. Writes the Shem Yishmol, what he's referring to is the fact that we came and we had such an incredible Gilui Shechina. When we went through the Yam Suf and we saw God, Biyad Chazaka of Izra'a Netuya, we experienced Him in a way that no people has ever seen God or perceived Him before. Then we come to the experience of Kabbalah Satorah and God Himself communicates with human beings. And we were so overwhelmed by that experience, and yet God says, after all that you've attained in your relationship with Me, after the closeness that you've already felt by Kriyas Yam Suf and by Kabbalah Satorah, you were still willing, lechtech acharai bamidbar, you were still willing to continue to grow with me, you still felt that there's more that you can accomplish even after what you already saw, and you were never going to be satisfied with that level of attainment of relationship that you had with me. That, God says, is why I love the Jewish people, because that is the perpetual story of the Jewish people, that they are always willing to refocus and to re-examine their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to make sure that it is always going to be different at various stages of their lives. That is what the Yareach is all about. That is what the moon teaches us, that we always have that opportunity to grow. Lo chashuv kama atah gadol. What's important in life is kama atah gadel, how much you are willing to make yourself grow and to be influenced by others. Let's just close with one final comment in Parsha Shoftim. The Torah says, Lo sakim lecha matzeva asher sanei Hashem Elokecha. God says, you're not allowed to build an altar. Now, what kind of altar are we talking about? The Ramban writes, well, we know that we're allowed to build a Mizbeach, and God loves when we build a Mizbeach and offer karbanos on that Mizbeach. So what is the difference, asked the Ramban, between a Mizbeach, which is the preferred option, and a Matseva, which is something that is Sanei Hashem Elokecha, that God absolutely abhors, that God rejects and does not want to have any part of? What is the difference between those two terminologies? How are they structured differently? Says the Ramban, a Mizbeach, as we know it, is comprised of many different stones, one piled on top of the other. A matseva, he says, is when you have one slab of stone that you just put out, and that is what you use as your altar. That is what you use to offer the karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not a bunch of stones piled on top of one another, but rather one slab of stone. So ask Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer Darash Moshe, I don't understand. The Ramban explains to us what the difference is. This is made of one slab of stone, and that's made out of multiple layers of stone, but why is that significant? Why does God say that the slab of stone is Asher Sanei Hashem Elokecha? It brings about the same result. We come to the same place that we offer a carbon on both of them. So what is the difference? Explains Rav Moshe, the difference is that when we talk about the style of spiritual life that a person chooses to take, there are those who look at life as just one big matseva. Whatever I have, my relationship with God, the mitzvahs that I do, the Shabbos that I keep, everything is perfect the way it is. I'll just leave it right there. It's one big slab of stone. And whatever my parents taught me when I was younger, whenever I learned in school when I was a young child, let's just keep it at that. My davening is fine. My Shabbos is fine. There's no more that I need to fix or to enhance in any way my observance of mitzvahs or my relationship with God Himself. That, writes Rav Moshe Feinstein, is what Hashem says, Asher Sanei Hashem Elokecha. What is the preferred way of life, he says? That is a person who understands that we live life as a mizbeach, always building one layer on top of the other, and always making sure that there's more that we can enhance, that there's more that we can refine, that there's more perfection that we can reach, and there's more that we can learn, whatever it is that we might do, there's always more that we can do. And that, says Rav Moshe, is what the difference really is between the experience in life of the mizbeach and the experience in life of the matzeva. It's not so much about the structure, it's more about the perspective, it's more about the understanding that a person has as they live through life and go through the Jewish experience. Writes Rav Moshe, there are two very different ways in which a person can do that, and that really is what the Areach is all about. That is the difference between the sun and the moon. The sun is this powerful, beautiful fixture in the sky that we all look to and we all pay attention to, but what we don't understand is that the greatest highlight and hallmark of the life of a Jew is that a person learns the lesson from the Areach, that we always have that ability to continue to advance, to continue to grow, and to continue to refine the lives that we all live.